This is the FBCG Live Podcast with Pastor John K. Jenkins, Sr. Today's message is titled, The Causes of Spiritual Defeat. There's one sower and the same seed, but the soil determines what happens with the seed. Wherever you're joining us from, we pray this message encourages and empowers you in your daily walk with God.
Okay, let me get into the word. Open your Bibles to Luke chapter 8. I'm going to leave it alone. Let me let it go. Luke chapter 8, I want to talk to you today about the causes of spiritual defeat. The causes of spiritual defeat. Say that. What causes you to be defeated? We got a lot of people who are losing in life. They are missing out and not achieving the things that God desires for them to achieve, not becoming what God wants you to become, not doing what it is God has called you to do. And Jesus, in chapter 8 of Luke, and I'm going to start reading at the fourth verse, it says this, "And when a great multitude had gathered, they had come to him from every city. He spoke by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trampled down, and the birds of the air devoured it. Some fell on rock, and as soon as it sprang up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. But others fell on good ground, sprang up, and yielded a crop 100-fold. When he had said these things, he cried, He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Verse 9, then his disciples asked him, saying, What does this parable mean? So I want to talk about this passage, this section of scripture, and I want to use, as I said, as a topic today, the causes of spiritual defeat. I want to spend some time taking a look at this passage because it unveils to us a very significant and important spiritual truth. Jesus goes to talk to a crowd of people. Matter of fact, it says in verse 4 that they had come from every city. And he wants to unveil to them some truth, and he tells them this parable. He talks about a sower who sowed seed, and some seed fell on the wayside, some fell on rocky soil, some fell on the rock. He gives different places where the soil landed, and some of the seeds didn't produce. Of the four areas that he mentions, only one is planted and produces a crop. Matter of fact, it produces and flourishes 100-fold. It's successful. It wins. Now the question is, I want to take a look at this passage. Amen. Go ahead and preach, Pastor. It's okay. I hear y'all listening to me. Y'all are so quiet. This is a very significant point, passage, because it's talking about why your life might not be successful. It's talking about why you might not be accomplishing the things that you thought by now you would have accomplished. And I want to spend some time and talk about it. I'm not going to preach before you long. That's all I needed to hear. I was just waiting for somebody to say it. I gave you time and space to say, take your time. You shouldn't have told me because I can take my time at this service. I want to take a look at this because there are some common elements in this parable he tells. There's a sower, there's seeds, there's soil. Those are the three elements. Now, some of the seeds prosper, but some of it doesn't. But look at what we have. It's the same sower. There's one sower. Y'all have one sower sowing into your life. Why am I saying that? Because people, y'all listen, look at the person sitting next to you. Look at the people on both sides of you. Now, listen to what I'm going to say to you. All of y'all can hear the same message from the same sower and produce something different in your life. Why? Why could you have a dynamic sower sowing into your life, Somebody say dynamic and anointed and gifted and called and all of that. You got a dynamic. We got to say, you got the same sower. As a matter of fact, it's the same seed. It's not different seeds that are being sown. It's the same seed. So why is it, what's the difference that some seed prospers and some seed doesn't? The difference is the soil. The soil determines the product, what happens with the seed. Well, Pastor, what is the soil? I'm glad you asked the question. The soil is the condition of your heart. Let me let that sink in for a second. Look at your neighbor, say, it's your heart that makes the difference. Let me try that again. Just look at your neighbor and say, it's your heart. Look on the other side, tell him it's your heart. I learned, some of y'all know I'm a pilot. I learned how to fly, I took flying lessons, and I learned something about flying. I learned that when you're learning how to fly, if there's certain things you gotta check on the plane and make sure everything's in order. You gotta make sure you got a propeller. Yeah, you gotta have wings, you gotta have an engine, and you gotta have some gas. If the plane has gas, and the engine is rolling, and the wings are in the proper configuration, and the propeller is spinning, the plane will fly every time. I've been flying for 20 years now. I've been a pilot for 20 years. Go ahead, Pastor, with your bad self. And every time that I have gotten on the runway with the propeller spinning and the engine rolling and the gas in the tank and the wings in the proper configuration, the plane has taken off 100% of the time. What am I saying to you? I'm telling you that because if you put the principles of God's word into action in your life, you will produce something 100% of the time. How do you know that, Pastor? I know that because Jesus said, my word will not go out and return unto me void. It's going to accomplish what it is that he has set it out to do. So if you are listening to a good sower who giving out a good seed and you're not having the right production, the problem is not with the sower, it's not with the seed, it got to be the soil. I feel tension in the room. Some of y'all don't like that kind of preaching. Somebody say, it's the soil, it's the soil. Well, let's take a look at what kind of soil we have, or what causes people not to produce? What causes defeat in a person's life? Why is your life being defeated? Here's the first thing, it's right here in verse 5. Here's what he says, a sower went out to sow his seed, and he walked, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside. And it was trampled down, and the birds of the air devoured it. What does that mean? What does it mean that he says it fell by the wayside and was trampled down by the birds of the air, and they devoured it? He gives us an explanation in verse 12. Are y'all with me? Can you go down to verse 12? He says, he explains the first part of the parable in verse 5. Verse 12 says, those by the wayside are the ones who hear. Then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. There's the first problem right there. The first problem, the first reason is that you have satanic attacks. The devil, somebody say that devil. And it's, let me be clear, the devil didn't make you do it. You opened up your heart and let the devil steal it out of your heart. That's why you can come into this church and get a good word, a good message, but before you get to the car, you done got a phone call, somebody done made you mad, somebody has upset you or made you angry. By the time you get to your car, you're upset and mad, and the devil has stolen, you done forgot all about that good word you done got, and that good worship, the devil has snatched it out of your heart. The devil has come and told you that ain't gonna work for you, that ain't true. You let the devil speak to you and you let him steal the word out of your heart. Somebody say, I don't wanna let that devil steal the word out of my heart. Thank all five of y'all for saying that to the person sitting next to you. The birds of the air represent the devil coming and stealing it out of your hearts. It's not that you don't know. It's not that you haven't been exposed. It's not that you have not been taught. The truth of the matter is you've allowed the devil to come and steal it out of your hearts. That's the first thing, satanic attacks. Somebody say satanic attacks. Here's number two. I'm going to be out of here in just a few moments. It's in verse 6. He says, some of these seeds fell on rock. And as soon as it sprang up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. Y'all see that in verse number 6? It lacked moisture. Well, what does that mean? I'm glad you asked. He explains it in verse 13. Verse 13, he says, but the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy. Stick a pin right there. They get excited. These are the people that come and get the word. They get excited. They in church running, shouting, they're celebrating. They doing good for a minute. These are the ones that receive the word with joy, and these have no root, who believe for a while, and in time of temptation, fall away. Y'all might as well tell the truth. This is a problem and an issue and a challenge and a frustration, because some of you have done well for a minute. We got some people who came good, did good for a little bit, but then all of a sudden, they had no roots. Y'all know what roots are? It's when a seed germinates, it has roots that spring down. And the reason it goes down is so it can find moisture, so it can drink the water. Water in the scripture is it represents the Holy Spirit. And I believe the second reason you don't win is because of the Spirit's absence. You're lacking the Holy Spirit ruling and guiding in your life. Oh yeah, you're scared of the Holy Ghost. When I was growing up, y'all have heard me say this before, I want to say it again. As I grew up in church, I see somebody get happy and they beat up people on their road, you know, swing their arms and knock people over, and I'd be in church scared that the Lord don't let whatever it is over there on them come over here and get on me. That's a misrepresentation of what the Holy Spirit is. When the Holy Spirit moves you, you still have complete control of your facilities. If you knocking people over, killing people, knocking people down, that ain't the Holy Ghost right there. That's something else. That's a spirit, but it ain't the Spirit of God. The Holy Ghost don't make you do anything you don't want to do. If you want to dance, you choose to dance. If you want to raise your hand, you choose to raise your hand. If you want to tell him thank you, you choose to tell him thank you. The Spirit of God makes a suggestion to you. He says you ought to go ahead and worship God. You ought to give him the praise. You ought to give him thanks. And by the way, when you say that and open yourself up to that, you're welcoming the power and presence of the Holy Spirit into the domain of your life. Some of y'all don't ever give God the praise, don't ever raise your hand, don't ever welcome his presence, never give God the glory. Hasn't God done enough for you that he's worthy of some praise from you? And by the way, it's not just a church thing, it's a lifestyle thing. You give God praise while you're driving your car. You give God praise no matter where you are or what you're doing. He's worthy of your praise. Somebody tell yourself, welcome the Holy Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit guide you and order your steps and direct your path. You know what I learned? I need the Holy Spirit to govern my life. I need the Holy Spirit to call the shots. And sometimes when I'm listening to the presence of God, he'll tell me, go down that street. Don't go down that street. Make that call. Don't take that call. Answer that text. Don't answer that text. He orders the steps and orders the path of your life. Are y'all understanding what I'm saying? But if you don't welcome the Holy Spirit, if you lack the moisture of God, if you refuse to let the Holy Spirit govern your life, you will be frustrated and defeated. Somebody tell your neighbor, don't be ashamed to let the Holy Ghost rule and reign in your life. Don't be ashamed to welcome his presence. I don't know where y'all are, but I need the Holy Ghost. I need the presence of God. I want the glory of God. I want him to have his way in my life. I need the old. I need the old. I need thee every hour. I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. I need the oh, I need thee every hour. I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. Hallelujah. I need the power of God. I need the presence of God. I want the glory of God. I want the anointing of God. I want him in every facet of my life, every crook and every cranny, every door in my life. I want him to call the shots in my life. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. Live a lifestyle that welcomes the presence of God. Live a lifestyle that he's welcome into every domain of your life. Without the power and presence of God, you will be defeated and frustrated, and you'll be jacked up. You need the presence of God. Somebody high five somebody, say you need the Holy Ghost. Welcome the Holy Spirit. Welcome the Holy Spirit. Welcome the Holy Spirit in your life. Welcome the Holy Ghost to rule and reign in your life. He is never going to force himself into your life. He's a gentleman. The Holy Ghost is a gentleman. And he only goes where he is welcomed. Before you get on your knees and ask God for everything that you're going to ask him for, welcome the Holy Spirit. Thank him for waking you up this morning and giving him the activities of your limbs. Praise him for the miracles that he's already wrought and done in your life. Welcome the Holy Ghost. Y'all not hear what I'm saying. Welcome his healing power. Welcome his glorious power. Welcome the Holy Ghost. Some are being defeated because they don't welcome the moisture, the presence of God. I'm almost finished. I got one more point, then I'll be out of your hair. What was the first thing I told you? Satanic attacks, number two. The Spirit's absence. Here's number three. It's right here in verse 7. It says, and some fell among thorns, and the thorn sprang up with it and choked it. And verse 14 explains what that means. Now the ones that fell among thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to maturity. I call that selfish agendas. Some of you are defeated because you think life is all about you. I hate to tell you this, Bob, but it ain't all about you. Life is not about you. But for some, they're being defeated because they have an agenda that's all about themselves. I feel tension in the room. When I start talking about y'all, y'all get quiet. When I'm talking about somebody else, y'all say, "Go on and preach, Pastor." But when I talk about you, y'all just sit quiet and look at me. Yeah, it's your heart that has been choked with selfish ambitions and agendas. And it says here's what they are: cares. All of the cares, all the stuff that you care about, all of your activities, all of your schedules, all of your meetings, all of your distractions, all that stuff. You got to go here. You got your aerobics class. You got to take your kids to this practice. You got this meeting, sorority and fraternities and all of these cares and all this stuff. You ain't got time to take no class. Ain't got time for prayer meeting. Ain't got time to get in the Word. Ain't got time to worship God. Ain't got time to serve because you got all these other cares. All this other stuff that has pushed the presence and power and will of God out of your life. Ooh, I am preaching up in here today. Not only cares, he says, it's not only the cares, but it's riches. I'm right in the text right here, verse 14. He says, cares, then it's riches. It's money. It's the pursuit of wealth. It is the want of abundance. It's the possessions. You want this. You want that. You got to get a new car. You got to get a new suit. You got to get some new shoes. You got to get a new dress. You got to get this house. You got to get all this stuff that you're working so hard to buy. But you know what I discovered? Can I tell y'all something that I discovered? I discovered that when you put God first, all these other things he adds to you. It looks like I got a witness somewhere up in here that knows when you put God first, when you put him at the top of the agenda, you don't have to chase after stuff. Stop chasing money. Stop chasing wealth and abundance and possessions. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added. Your heart is in the wrong place. Your heart is focused on stuff. How many of y'all know God sees where your heart is pointing? I don't get excited about stuff. You know what I get excited about? When I see somebody get saved with Jesus. When I see somebody get delivered by the power and presence of God. That's what causes me to shout. I'm almost finished. And the problem with this is when that's your agenda, matter of fact, this verse 14 says, it chokes out, these things chokes out God's will for your life. Your heart is choked and God can't accomplish. God's always looking at your heart, saints. Tell your neighbor, he's always looking at your heart. Tell him on the other side, because some of them not paying attention. Tell him this. Some of y'all, because you know what? The saints could be sitting at church looking right at you, but their heart is someplace else. Their heart done gone down the street somewhere. Their heart is at home cooking dinner, getting ready for what they got to do. They ain't heard a word I said. I'm up here preaching hard, trying to sow some seeds, but they don't even get the seed because they think about, I got to take the pan out. I got to put this in the oven. I got to do this. Or he thinking about, I got to wash my car. I got to go do this. I got to do that. I got to go get this taken care of. And you don't hear a word I'm saying. Pay attention to what I'm trying to tell you. Do I have a witness? Amen. I got a witness right here. Does anybody hear what I'm saying to you today? God wants your heart. It's the condition of your heart. But hold up. Let me tell you there's one more thing here. He says, it's the pleasures. Cares, riches, and pleasures. That's because you're lustful. Your heart is full of lust, sensuality. I feel tension in the room. What is he going to say? I'm going to say you nasty. That's what I'm going to say. You're attending to the pleasures of your flesh. And your flesh is nasty and greedy. And it's choking out the ability of God to bring life to you. It's not worth it. Somebody tell your neighbor, it's not worth it. You tell yourself, I don't need it. Go ahead, confess, I want it, but I don't need it. Y'all tripping on me. Y'all tripping. I'm just trying to help you understand it's not worth it. It's not worth it. It's choking life out of you. Somebody say, let it go. Let it go. Y'all got the three things that I said? What was it? What was number one? Satanic attack. Number two? The spirit's absence. Number three? Selfish agendas. Did y'all notice my essay? I just needed to point it out to make sure that I worked hard to alliterate those points, and I just wanted to highlight it and make sure that you heard me alliterate the points that I preached about so profoundly on this Lord's Day. Thank you. But I can't close without telling you, though, that Jesus says there is some soil that does receive the seed. As a matter of fact, he says this last soil is good soil. He says in verse 8, but others fell on good soil, sprang up and yielded a crop 100-fold. I know somewhere in this building is some people that's got a good heart. He defines it in verse 15. Here's what he says in verse 15, and I'll be finished. This is my first close right here. This is my first close. But the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word, with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. I'm looking in the building for some good soil. I believe there's some people in here somewhere around the camp, maybe on your row, maybe in front of you, maybe behind you. They got some good soil. They got a good heart. Their heart is open to the things of God. They haven't allowed these other things to choke out the word or to kill the word or to frustrate them. But in fact, they have a good and noble heart. They want the things of God. They want the will of God. They want God's perfect will in their life. And they're hungry for the things of God. And I'm shouting and I'm celebrating the people who have waited on God. They're patiently walking with God, and they know in due season they shall reap if they faint not. They know that in due season God's going to bring some crop. God's going to bring prosperity. God's going to give me the desires of my heart. God's going to bless me in a rich way. They are willing to wait for God to fight the battle and bring them out. Well, I'm looking in the building, trying to find a witness, trying to find somebody who's got the right heart. God's got some good heart. Wait a minute. Maybe there's nobody here with the right heart. Wait a minute. I got great news for you. Maybe your heart is jacked up. Maybe you don't have that kind of heart. But we serve a Savior who will fix your broken heart. He will take your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. He'll perform surgery on you. He'll cut you right down in the middle and pull out that hard, cold heart and give you a heart of flesh. Take out that stony heart. Take out that rough, thorny heart and give you a heart of flesh. He'll forgive you of whatever you've done in your past. That's what I love about God. He's a forgiving God. He'll wipe the slate clean and give you another chance at life.
You've been listening to FBCG Live with Pastor John K. Jenkins, Sr. You need the seed of the Word and the Holy Spirit in your life to stay undefeated and victorious against the devil. If you've been blessed by this message and would like to help us reach more people through this ministry, please click the link in the podcast description or visit our website, fbcglenarden.org/give to donate. Thank you for joining us. We hope that you'll subscribe so that you'll never miss an episode. Be sure to tune in next week.